Gospels today, 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. The thought that I'd like to use for from a message is a thought, simply this: guess who's back. Guess who's back. 2 Samuel 5, verse 22. The Bible says, "And the Philistines came up again," or came up yet again. And I pull my thought from that statement there. They came up yet again. That's very significant. Yet again. And then notice, "and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer." Let's pray. Our Father, this morning, as we approach the throne of grace, we come recognizing our weakness and recognizing the need of divine strength. And Lord, I pray today your preaching as the Word of God goes forth. Our Father, the names have been shared with us, the prayer requests, and you know those that are upon the prayer list for this day. And I pray, my Father, your blessing, your direction, your comfort, your touch in the lives of those whose names were called. Now bless us now as we give our thoughts and our minds and our attention to the Word of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We see here in this passage of Scripture that the Philistines are back on David's doorstep again. We see that again they're back tormenting, threatening, attacking, and causing problems. This is not the first time that David has had to deal with the Philistines. But so again, we see them again at his doorstep. Guess who's back? Now, when you consider the context of this portion of Scripture and compare it with the verses, the chapters preceding, and the chapters around, and the other Old Testament books as well, David has just taken the throne of Israel, and he's perhaps considered easy pickings by the Philistines, so they attack Israel. Maybe they're moving in on the fact that David is just now where he is, and perhaps they're thinking, well, this would be a good time. By the way, before I go any further, I want to say it is so good to see the Smiths back with us today. I didn't want to overlook that, and they've been out for a while, and so good to have those folks back with us. Coming now to this portion of Scripture, this formidable enemy, the Philistines, they are relentless, and they keep showing up. They just don't give up. They have some fortitude. They're not going to be easily defeated, so to speak. Why, they remind me of enemies that we face. This enemy is unimpressed by the former battles and victories of Israel. It makes no difference to them the fact that in the past, Israel has accomplished great things. Israel has had victory. In other words, previous victories do not impress this enemy at all. They're going to again attack Israel. They're not too interested in Israel's track record. They're just there again. They're just there to do what they think they have to do because they just happen to be the enemy of Israel. Let me bring this now to bearing upon a practical application. We know today that the devil is relentless. We know that Satan keeps showing up. We know that the devil keeps bombarding, affecting, attacking, influencing, and trying to keep stuff stirred up all the time. The devil does not let up. He is relentless. He'll do all that he can to destroy a soul. He'll do all that he can to discourage a Christian. He'll do all that he can to hinder the work of God. He does not give up. Even though in the past God's people can rejoice in perhaps victories we've seen, that still does not keep the devil from coming back. Guess who's back? Guess who's back? But I'm glad of this. I'm glad that even though the devil keeps showing up, thank God the Lord keeps showing up. The Lord is still here. And I've learned and you've learned and the Bible teaches the fact Satan might be the prince of the power of the air, but I'll tell you, God is God and there's none like Him. And He is all powerful. And Satan is no match for Him. In fact, when you read of the temptation of Jesus, you'll notice when Satan attacked the Lord, every time Satan would come at Christ, Jesus would say, "It's written." And the devil would flee. He kept coming back, but I'll tell you, he's driven away by the Word of God, though. I think there's good lessons to learn here myself. You know, it's okay to enjoy victory. And thank God when we see battles won. And praise the Lord when we see God doing things. But we just must always remember this. We need to keep the defense up because the enemy will keep on showing up. We may have had a victory last Sunday here at this church, but that doesn't hinder the devil trying to stir things up here today if he can. Right now, he's trying his best to keep some of you, if you're here unsafe, from coming to Christ. Right now, he's trying to keep some Christians in his building from becoming more committed, from becoming more sold out to the Savior. He's trying to hinder. You see, the devil keeps showing up like a bad dream. Kind of reminds me of a young man one time dating this young girl. They both were teenagers. And the young man told the young girl, he said, "I had a dream last night." She said, "What was your dream?" He said, "I dreamed that I proposed to you." She looked at him, she said, "You have more sense when you're sleeping than when you're awake." But guess who's back? Let me stay with that thought for a while. Guess who's back? Notice again how it reads. Yet again. The Philistines are at it again. They're at it again. Let's again make some application with Satan, old Slewfoot, prince of power of the air, the person today that's seeking to devour whom he can. Let's consider this application. I know of this enemy and he never lets up. In fact, Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." You know, a lion's roar is not to be ignored. Yes, we know this sometimes. Maybe a lion's roar is like a dog whose bark might be worse than his bite. But there's something about this lion that Peter would have us to understand, though. He's not just roaring. He's in the devouring business. He's seeking whom he may devour. Have you ever heard of a preacher? Or have you ever heard preachers make the statement sometime, if you're not serving God, you're serving the devil? Have you ever heard that statement made? Do you realize whatever preacher said that told the truth? In fact, I probably said it myself. If you're not serving God, you're serving the devil. And I can prove it if you'll let me. In fact, what does it say in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2? "Wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Paul said, in times past, ye walked according to the prince of the world. That was taking the Ephesians back to the time before they met the Master and before they got saved. The chapter starts out by saying, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin." Unsaved people are dead people, walking but dead. Unsaved people are being led around by Satan. Unsaved people are serving the devil until they get saved, and then they start serving God. Oh, that's a strong statement, but that's a Bible statement. And again, this isn't Baptist doctrine that I'm uttering. This is right from the book itself that says you walked according to the prince of the power of the air. That's pretty plain if we'll accept it. Let me make something rather clear right now if we can. And I feel like I don't really need to make this point clear because I'm preaching to the choir, I'm quite sure, along this line. We just happen to believe that God's Word, the Bible, is the Word of God, don't we? And that's where we stand. Now, it's one thing for preachers to get off on a deep end, get on a tangent, and start spouting forth what they think or what they believe. And we all can, from time to time, we can make a statement like, I believe, it's my thoughts. But let me tell you something. What I believe, what I think, doesn't amount to a hill of beans if it's not in correspondence with what God says. We believe the Bible. I know sometimes people say, well, I don't believe a person serving the devil if they're not serving God. Well, the Bible says they are. If you're an unsaved person this morning, the devil has you. Brother Adrian, goal number two, and I mean this, we got to get this squeak out of this floor. Amazing how preachers get sidetracked so quick. But that's what it teaches here. Now, okay, here's another point. Here's a point. Please catch this point. Unsaved are too blind to see the devil, though. Too blind. You say, preacher, prove that. Don't throw at me Baptist doctrine. Don't throw at me what you think. Prove it biblically. Unsaved people lack the ability to see. Here it is. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says that God of the world hath blinded their minds. Satan has literally blinded the minds of unsaved people. That explains why people can come to church and just sit and not take serious what they're hearing. That explains it. That explains why people can come to church and go like this. Sometimes people are tired, of course, I understand that. And yawn and look around and eyeball everybody, everything around them. And whatever the preacher is preaching just goes right over the head. They don't really care a whole lot what he's saying. Many people only come because it's Sunday and Sunday's a good day to go to church. And some people come because it's kind of a traditional thing to do. But the most important thing that can happen to you today is not necessarily anything by way of any kind of an entertainment. Thank God for all that we do here. I appreciate the good music and all. But what I'm saying to you with an open Bible can be more of a help to you than any other resource or anything else that you get when you come to church. It's what you're hearing from the Bible. The point is, unsaved people's minds are blinded by the prince of the power of the air, and they can't see until. See, the Holy Spirit of God needs to remove the scales from your spiritual eyes and mind before you can really see. Your eyes, unsaved person, are affected by the cataract of sin, by the cataract of the sin of unbelief. And only the optometrist of the Holy Spirit of God can remove that cataract. You've got blinders on. It's just like an old horse. We used to work horses and you put a blinder on them where they couldn't see on the right or the left. So they keep plowing, or old mules, so they plow straight forward. They didn't need to be seeing all around them. Just focus on what you're plowing. But unsaved people have blinders on. Let me tell you something. This is the reason today why you hear so many outlandish things being said against the Bible, against the church, against Christians, because people are blinded. I don't think there's ever been a time that institutions have been run anymore by inmates than what it is today. Never been a time. This world is a madhouse. People are plumb crazy. I thought this past week, bless their little pea-picking hearts, the students in the University of Iowa. The University of Iowa now are building these little crying booths. Little crying booths where students can go into the little crying booths and have a little ball before they take the exam. Wouldn't you like to just go up to them and twist their collars and just look at them in the face and say, "Grow up! Get a life!" It wouldn't surprise me if these left-wing, radical, liberal, democratic politicians, if they didn't start having crying booths for them. I hate to keep getting political, but some of these politicians hate Donald Trump more than they love America. Amen. And their hatred has them blinded. Thank God for everybody that loves the Constitution, that loves the Bill of Rights, that respects our founders. And these politicians are enemies of America. But the problem is they're blinded. They're blinded. Preachers preach to blinded people all the time. They get their hair bent out of sort. They get upset. They don't like preaching. They think we're meddling. They're not getting a thing. The problem of it is there's a scale of unbelief over their eyes. And the optometrist of the Holy Spirit of God through conviction can take that cataract off. It's amazing how your eyes get opened when God breaks through. I can preach to you till I'm blue in the face, but I believe when God gets a hold of you, you'll see what I'm saying. It is a literal biblical fact. The devil has the back of the unsaved and is dogging the steps of unsaved people. The Bible says yet again, guess who's back? Yet again. I notice another point that I mentioned this morning. The enemy was back. But here's what I like though. God had a backup plan. God had a backup plan. Verses 23 and 24. David inquired of the Lord. He said, "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry tree. Let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." The enemy was back, but God had a backup plan. God basically told David, "Keep your ears open and wait until I tell you to move. Wait until the sound of the wind, and you'll know that the presence of the Lord is there to lead." It's interesting when you think about wind, about how wind can be effective, beneficial, or wind can be devastating. Wind. Wind can be beneficial or harmful. Good winds, cool hot summer days. Good winds scatter seed upon this earth. Good winds help dry the earth after times of flood. The wind in these verses, however, signifies the arrival of the Lord in time of trouble. The sound of the wind was a signal that God was present with His people to lead them to victory. God told David, He said, wait till the rustling of the mulberry tree leaves. And then you'll know it's time to move because then I will be leading. I will be leading. The Lord once showed, by the way, trace it in Scripture. Think about the wind. Think about the significance of the wind. The Lord once showed up when the wind blew on the Sea of Galilee. You remember that, don't you? Wind was blowing on the Sea of Galilee. The disciples thought the boat was going down. And they were in turmoil, but the Lord showed up. The Lord once showed up, and the ship was destroyed that Paul was on because of wind. But God showed up, told Paul, be of good cheer, be of good cheer. And so what happened, God protected Paul and those on board. When the enemy shows up, God has a backup plan. I'm saying to all of us today, when the enemy shows up, God has a backup plan. When the devil shows up, God has a backup plan. When the winds of adversity, carrying this down another level as far as application, when the winds of adversity blow in our lives, we can be assured that God uses a wind for our good. God used the wind to dry up the waters after the flood. Genesis 8:1. God used wind to bring the plague of locusts in Egypt. Exodus 10. God used wind to part the Red Sea. Exodus chapter 14. And God stopped the wind to drown the Egyptian armies. God used wind to blow quail into the camp of Israel. Numbers chapter 11. And God used wind to teach Peter about faith. Matthew chapter number 14. The winds that are sent into our lives do not come to destroy us. I'm talking now to God's people. When the winds of adversity are blowing, God's about to do something. If we'll but listen, if we'll but take some advice. When the wind came to David, what did God tell David to do? Bestir yourself. Bestir thyself. In other words, take action. That's what it means. By the way, when you read your Bibles and you come across these words such as we see right here, it's so important to check them out, see what they're there for. And I appreciate Brother Glenn Blackburn's good teaching every Sunday morning. He's one of the best lay teachers that I know of in terms of just teaching right through the Bible, verse by verse. And I appreciate how he lays attention on the significance of words. Words mean something. I need to step back here in the back room and holler a little bit, get that out. Words mean something. Bestir thyself, David. God is saying, when you hear the movement of the mulberry leaves, take action. Take action. The presence of the wind declared the presence of the Lord and the promises of victory for Israel. When the winds begin to blow, we can know that God is near, God is working, and victory is just around the corner. By the way, greatest time to serve God is not on a calm day. His glory shines best in the midst of the tempest. Learn that the battle and the storm are the Lord's. That's the important thing. You know, I thank the Lord for many things in life that I've come to enjoy. I thank the Lord for the fact that I've now been able, by God's grace, to walk with Him a number of years. And I've seen the Lord work in many, many ways down through the years. That's one good thing about getting old. is you do, if you keep your eyes open and your ears open, you learn some things. And you gain wisdom that you'll never gain by just reading. You, down through the years, you see what God is doing. And I can tell you today, I've seen in the lives of God's people, I've seen some of them do some of their greatest growing when the winds were blowing. When the winds were blowing. It's easy to be a Christian when everything is good, when everything's calm. It's easy to be a Christian when the sun shines all the time and when your health is good. And when you can pay your bills and when your car keeps running like it ought to. But let things start bottoming out a little bit. Let the wind start blowing. How are you going to react to that? I believe God sends winds for a reason. But when the winds come, we're to bestir ourselves. We're to take action. What should we do when the winds of adversity blow? We ought to take action. So the best action I know is to start out by getting down on our knees and asking God to give us the victory, and then asking God to get through our thick heads that we'll learn what He's trying to teach us, instead of immediately throwing up our hands and saying, God, it's not fair. It's not right. It's been a blessing to me down through the years to see the Lord do a whole lot in people's lives when the wind was blowing. And more growth will take place during windy days than calm days in a spiritual sense in the lives of God's people. Bestir thyself. You see, many Christians, when the wind blows, let's use David as an example. David could say, well, no, let me just remain in place for a while. Let me just figure this thing out. Let me just stay put. No, God meant for him to take some action, to move out. And then God was going to give victory over the Philistines. My final point is this. When God rustles the leaves, we need to listen. He wants our attention. You say, preacher, that's an interesting concept, leaves. Understand leaves on the tree. Understand leaves on the mulberry tree. I understand that. But I think there's leaves that rustle in other ways. And I'm simply saying the rustling of the leaves was a sign to David that God was going to lead him to victory. God got David's attention to the rustling of the leaves. I believe this. I believe that the leaves are rustling today, if you and I will listen. Oh, not just the wind blowing, not the trees out there blowing, leaves blowing. No, no. I'm talking about, what about this? I believe that God rustles the leaves of circumstances, but many people refuse to listen. The leaves of circumstances. Do you agree with me this morning, congregation, that sometimes God has to do things in people's lives to get their attention? Do you agree with me this morning that sometimes when people have a serious health issue or people have a serious problem that comes along in their lives, it seems like sometimes some people, it takes that as a wake-up experience. That preacher friend of mine, Brother Calvin Adams, who's preached here before, he usually gives his testimony about how God got his attention when he wrecked his automobile, and he was underneath the car, was turned over on the side, and Brother Calvin Adams was under that car, pinned down, and was going to die. And Brother Calvin Adams said, God, you get me out of this, I'll serve you. And he's preached faithful ever since then. The leaves of circumstances. I don't believe that nothing happens by accident in the lives of people. I believe sometimes that God puts people through tough times to get their attention. And sometimes, unfortunately, some people never learn. They never learn. As a young Marine years ago, there's one thing that struck fear in me, and I wasn't even saved at that time. I remember going to Quantico, Virginia, one time on a drill, on a training mission to qualify with our M14 rifles back in them days. We went to Quantico, Virginia, and I can remember, and I wasn't even saved, but I remember a young Marine who got up and thought he'd take some time and kind of make a mockery out of God. He tried it. He got up like he was a preacher, like he was given an invitation. And he was talking about the song, "Just As I Am." And he literally, it was nothing but mockery. Mockery. And I thought even back in them days, and I wasn't even saved, that caused a shiver to go up my spine. I thought in my heathen living, I could not get myself to make an attempt to make a mockery out of God in the Bible. Well, my point that I'm making to you this morning, and that was, I was in the Marine Corps Reserves in Lynchburg, Virginia, and I don't remember what month that was, but I know this. I know that that same young Marine that made that mockery out of the hymn, "Just As I Am," he didn't show up for the next drill, and you know what happened to him? He got killed in a car wreck, and it tore him up so bad you couldn't recognize him. My friend, listen to me this morning. God rustles the leaves of circumstances to get people to wake up, to listen. And I believe that God rustles the leaves of circumstances in the lives of Christian people to get them to wake up and to sell out to Him and serve Him. And God has a use of anything He wants to use, whether it be our families, whether it be the health. He can use anything that He can, but this is one preacher that believes this morning that God does rustle the leaves of circumstances to get people to wake up. Then I think of another leaf that God rustles. I believe it's a leaf of Scripture. The leaves of the Word of God. God uses the Word to get people's attention. And people reject the Word. No one will ever be saved anyway unless they accept the Word. But God is rustling the leaves of Scripture to get people to wake up. What preachers do, Bible preachers do from pulpits, is not a vain repetition. I'm not giving a book report. I'm not reading Reader's Digest. I'm not reading the Time News. What I have to say to you this morning is a message from this book. You can reject me all you want to, but the day is coming you'll not turn your face from God, though. You'll say no to Him one too many times. You'll spurn the gospel offer one too many times. As it is written, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the book according to the works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. Reject what I say, you may be okay. But reject what God says, and you'll be held accountable. The leaves of circumstances are rustling. The leaves of Scripture are rustling. And I believe the leaves of the working of the Holy Spirit should get people's attention. The work of salvation in lives here today should get the attention of unsaved people. Guess what? I'm preaching to a room practically full, if not everyone, though I would not be so naive to say everyone. I hope everyone. But to the most part, I'm preaching today to Christians. People that are saved. The working of the Holy Spirit in your life ought to get people's attention. The leaves of the working of the Holy Spirit in the lives of God's people ought to cause unsaved people to sit up and take notice and scratch their head a little bit and say, it does amaze me that those people are so committed to a God that they haven't seen. And they're so dedicated to the Lord that they've not seen. But there's just something about their lives that gets my attention. And I'll tell you what it is. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The workings of the Holy Spirit in the lives of people should be enough rustling of the leaves to cause some people to sit up and take notice and say, hey, they're different than what I am. And it's not being brainwashed either. It's the real deal. The work of the Spirit of God in the lives of Christian people. Here's another thing that ought to get the attention of God's people. The dedication and the commitment of Christians here should get your attention. If you are a carnal Christian, if you are an uncommitted Christian, if you are a hit-and-miss type Christian, it ought to get your attention a little bit. The rustling of the leaves of the commitments on the part of God's people here should get your attention a little bit. And do I need to be specific? Those that are saved. Those that are getting baptized. Those that are getting involved. Those that are serving. That should get your attention. That's the rustling of the leaves. God ought to be saying to you, look how committed they are. That says something to me concerning what I ought to be doing. You know, Paul called Timothy a soldier for a reason. Didn't he? He said, endure hardness as a good soldier. There's a battle raging. All of God's people are enlisted. The enemy doesn't give up. Guess who's back? You can be a peacenik. You can be a pacifist. That doesn't stop the enemy's resolve. You know what Smith Grove Baptist Church needs? It needs everybody who's already uniformed by the righteousness of Christ applied. It means every single one of us need to figure out what our spiritual MOS is and start functioning accordingly. Everybody here has something to contribute, and it's not right that in many churches you've got a certain percentage of the Christian soldiers in the church that are fighting the battles for all the other lazy soldiers. Just to sit back and enjoy. It oughtn't to be that way. You know, there's one thing, thank God, that I never will apologize for. And it's telling God's people, get on board like everybody else. Because that's the way the Lord wants it to be. The cause of Christ can be threatened internally as well as externally. And that's when soldiers inside the camp aren't holding up their load like they should. And I'm through. I see that clock like the rest of you all. All right, let me get this through real quick and we'll go home. Too many military people, appreciate what I'm going to say here. Too many are aiding and abetting the enemy. They're aiding. You remember old Bird Bodall? What's his name? Bird Dahl. Is that how I pronounce it right? Yeah, Bo Bird Dahl. He is captured. You remember this. He is captured by the Taliban after deserting his post on June 30, 2009. He was released May the 31st, 2014 in a prisoner exchange for five Taliban combatants who were being held at Guantanamo Bay. He was released by President Obama for the five enemy combatants and basically given a pass. Those five combatants were given a pass to fight another day against us. Sorry. But guess who else was aiding and abetting the enemy? You guessed it. God intends every single one of us to pay close attention to the rustling of the leaves. And everyone that's saved here today in this church, you ought to be able to go up to any other fellow Christian and say, by God's grace, I want to be on board fighting the battle, doing my part, getting in the church, getting involved, using my talents for His ability. Everybody ought to be holding the equal load. And when we do that, it takes a little bit of strain off of some of the others. And God's pleased in the progress. Well, Brother Glenn this morning used a verse, and I am the, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? How many of you, with a raise of hands, will say, preacher, you told me the truth because it come out of the Bible? Let me see your hands. then let's take it and run with it. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer.